Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Almighty God, our Father, we rejoice that thou dost receive us gladly when we confess our sins, and we pray thee now to renew our souls as we live this day. Receive our thanks for every token of thy grace and every mark of thy bounty. And teach us to rest ourselves in thee. Make thyself known to us today as thou art in Christ, that we may be the instruments of thy will as thou dost thy great work in the world through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Open thou our lips, O Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Our text for today, 2 Kings 7:9, tells of a time that tried men's souls. Some of God's people were in the stress of hard times, literally starving to death, surrounded by an enemy that simply kept waiting until they were helpless. A small band of lepers lived just outside the city walls. Life was exceptionally hard for them. They were cut off from all sides, and famine was rampant. They faced certain death. What could they do? Well, they became heroes. Those four lepers set forth the evangelical word of our text. This is a day of good tidings. How in the world did they get the consent of their minds and lips for a testimony like that? First of all, they faced reality. They did not bewail their lot. They did not berate the people who placed them outside the walls. They did not form a committee, a clear indication that they were neither Baptist by lineage nor professors by vocation. They did not call a prayer meeting, but a brainstorming session. As a matter of fact, they had a little existential group therapy. They arrived at three alternative courses of action, all of which ended with the same possibility, death. They faced reality with all its grim possibilities. When they had finished their musings, they went out to face the worst the camp of the enemy could offer. Now that was the first step they took on the road to herohood. They faced reality. Those of us who are the servants of God today, at times, are like those four lepers. We often feel cut off from the sacred precincts of many well-meaning people of often small faith who are walled in under spiritual attack. Oftentimes they don't know it. Slowly starving with really very little deep spiritual understanding. But this is no time to bewail our lot, nor is it a time to remind God of how sad it is to be one of his servants. Rather, we face reality. And there must not be left any unprobed sacred precincts of reality for perceptive ministers of Jesus Christ. We understand our situation both in reference to the walled-in city and the world of the Syrians. Those of us who are here today are gathered in this theological community to face the unmasked visage of reality. We employ every gift of learning and examine any point of view in an effort to discern just what truth is. Made free in Christ, we are free to face the truth wherever it leads us. We've not gathered here to avoid reality, but to probe it. And this for us, as well as for the lepers, may be the beginning of our redemption. We learn also from our lesson that this tiny band found salvation where they feared destruction. They found life where they would not have been surprised to have found death. They went into the camp of the enemy and found that he had fled. What if they had spent their time outstripping one another and painting pictures of the awesome strength of those who would overcome them? What if they had dwelled upon their feeble strength compared with the might of so many? With good reason, they could have slipped back into the city and died slowly with everybody else. But no. They decided to live where the world of the Syrians were. At least and at worst, death there would come at the end of high adventure. They took a chance on being able to stay alive in a world that was not walled in. And as a result, they found salvation where they feared destruction. It's a big world. This school is in a little place. There are no walls here to protect our theological insecurities. There is only a bigger world than many of us have ever lived in before. And we can either live in it or die in it. Now, here is an opportunity for salvation. Accept it, and opportunity becomes possession. When I began teaching 18 years ago, I had in one of my classes a small group of men who listened very carefully to what I said. But some of them never said anything to expand what I said. They always made statements that contracted it. So fearful were they that they would lose Christ, they never really ventured to find him. Afraid he would become smaller, they never learned how big he really is. There is a big world beyond the walls of this campus. And we live in it as committed men. And we find life there and not death. There not only are Syrians there, there's also God. Last of all, those heroes in our text became heralds of a new world. If they had remained in the shadow of the wall, or if they had retired within the gates of the city, they would never have seen God do some of his work. They suddenly found themselves surrounded by the treasure of a new world. Their first reaction was to revel in what was now there. But then they had another council. The upshot of it all was that they decided not to hide it or to preserve it, but to share it. They said, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace." They ran to tell others what they had found. Hal Luckock once said, "Good news always runs." As some of you who are here know that one of my best little friends is David Shriver, the son of Dr. George Shriver, who teaches church history. Now and again, when I see David on the campus, we go together to get ice cream at the campus store. And I remember a year ago when I saw David on the campus, I said, "David, let's go get some ice cream." And his face lighted up, and he said, "Let me go get my sisters." Now, David was acting like a good theologian. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the women ran to tell the disciples. Little David had good news he wanted to share with those sisters whom he loves very much. Those women had news to tell those who love Jesus very much. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. Four souls had the message to ease anguish of the mind, to plant laughter in the eye and renew strength of body and soul. To have been silent would have been to court disaster. There was a story that had to be told. They had to tell of the opportunities that were theirs outside the walls. Come, see what God has done, not inside the walls, but outside them. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we have good tidings to tell all the world. I bring you tidings of great joy, the angel said one night to a shepherd band. And in Isaiah we read, "Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice, O Jerusalem. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." All men need to see what God has done and is doing for all his people. Everywhere there are footprints in the long story of documentation of God's deeds in behalf of men. Those of us who share in his work in Christ must share it with others. A character in one of Robert Penn Warren's novels says in beautiful simplicity about Christ, He is hung on my heart like a cowbell. And a cowbell can't keep no secret. The claim upon our devotion is a claim this day pressed upon us. We do not well. This is a day of good tidings. We must not hold our peace. We give thee our thanks, O Lord, for so great a Redeemer who calls us and has pointed out the way for us to travel. Grant that we will be inspired by him who has marked out the path and who calls us at its end, for thy name's sake.